Amen. Well, before Christmas, I started preaching out of the book of John a little bit. We've been working through the book of John. And when I got up early this morning, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do tonight? And, you know, you're always trying to think and trying to see what the Lord wants for you to do on an ongoing basis. But my mind quickly went back to the book of John. And John chapter 5, we done part of John 1, John 2, John 3, John 4, hitting some of the places there. And I wanted to go into John chapter number 5 tonight. Since this is the first Wednesday night of a new year, I thought it would be fitting to have a fresh start tonight. And I would like to take for a title the season for the evening, A New Day Has Come. And I want to share that with you this evening out of the book of John, chapter number 5. And I want to start reading in verse number 1. And again, the title of the message this evening is, A New Day Has Come. We don't know what 2025 is going to hold. We're just a few hours in to 2025. And let me mention something that I forgot to mention a few moments ago. I had thought about it. And with the requests and everything that was coming, please remember the city, Louisiana, New Orleans. Evil is prevalent. And our new president-elect, Trump, called their hand on it and said that it was evil. And so that is not a political thing. I believe he recognizes the evil that is afoot in our society today. But yet, in the same regard, the Bible teaches us this, and we just know that as we see these days approaching, that we forevermore need to hold on to the Lord and hold on to the cross, because Paul even told young Timothy that these days would come before the coming of the Lord, and it would be okay with me if that would happen anytime soon, and all the church that agreed said amen. It's okay. And, you know, people say, well, that's selfish. What about the others that are not ready? Well, I cannot change a lot of things in life. No more could Noah when Noah had preached for the years a righteous man, and he told them to prepare, but yet there was only 8 people that got in the ark even then. So let's just be praying that God would help us during this time. And let us all cling to the old rugged cross as Shelba has sung that song today, and let's just hold up one another in prayer. If you have your Bible again, John chapter 5, verse number 1, the title of the message this evening is, A New Day Has Come. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. And in these lay great multitude of impotent folk, of blind and halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at the certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Good question. The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And he answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Verse 12. Then answered they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus, which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. And Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God is his Father, maketh him equal with God. Let's pray. Father, I do love you tonight, and I do thank you, God, for the time that you've given us to be here. I thank you, Father God, that your word is truth, and God, your word will go forth. And without your word, God, we cannot even function. We cannot make it, and God, we cannot do the things that we're called to do without you and without your anointing. Be with us tonight as we preach the word. Help us, God, to be found faithful in all that we endeavor to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, let me give you a little bit of background for this before we get to really to the other parts of this. So this was a feast that was going on. All the people were going up to Jerusalem. The commentary that I was reading from basically said this was very possibly the Passover, but it was not exactly sure which event festival this was. Feast of Tabernacles, the Passover, but however, whichever one it was, there was a great, great multitude of people that was there. And they were there in Jerusalem, and you just kindly have to use your imagination, and I kindly have to tell on myself a little bit. Now, this is how I'm going to tell on myself. I studied this earlier this morning, okay? Now, Sherry and I, anybody ever watched The Chosen? Now, let me go back. Some of you have watched The Passion of the Christ with Mel Gibson, right? We don't know if that's exactly everything that happened as the storyline of The Passion of the Christ leading up to the crucifixion. But in the narration of it, you could almost imagine that these are the events and what led up to the actual crucifixion of Jesus. Well, I'd studied this earlier this morning. I mean, like real early this morning I was studying. And then Sherry and I, over the last couple of days, we've been watching The Chosen. I don't know how many people's ever watched The Chosen. It's a storyline, a narrative of the life of Jesus and the scripture about Jesus' life while he was here on earth. And it's actually, in the past, you've had to buy it. And now it's playing free on Prime. There's your commercial. So you can go in and you can start watching that. Well, lo and behold, this afternoon, we got our running done, our visiting done, and went home and made us a cup of coffee, and we're sitting there. And she said, I said, let's watch one of the episodes. And she said, have we got time? I said, yeah, we got time. So we did. And that episode came on, and it was exactly this particular part of the scripture. So I want to try my best not to be too animated this evening when I actually talk about this, because my mind goes back to the theatrical part of this and what I actually saw. But it helps us to understand what actually possibly could have been there on that occasion. So here you go. You go into this particular area of the location that is known as the Pool of Bethesda. And in your mind's eye, you can imagine this, because the Bible said that in this place there was broken people, and there was people that were blind. There were people that was halt. There were people that was lame. And as you begin to look at this, the narration of it is, the scripture says that at a certain season that an angel would come down. Now, the King James describes it that way. Others has described it as like an artesian well type thing that would build up the pressure, I guess, like, oh, faithful, I don't know. But the Bible says an angel would come down. And an angel would come down and trouble the water, stir the water. And then the first person that was actually in that water would be the person that was healed. Well, when you look at this pool, it was one of five that was, the porches was around it, and the pool no doubt was in the middle. And so when you begin to look at this, Bethesda actually is a Hebrew word that actually means house of mercy, house of outpouring. So it was there at that pool where the mercy of God was being poured out upon those individuals that was taken there from however long they were there. So when you begin to look at this, these people were filled with diseases and all kinds of things, and I'll get into that in just a few minutes. But when you begin to look at this, there were several things going on there at that time. The Jews were there, and we know this scripturally. You can look at the scripture, and you can understand how much animosity the Jews actually had towards Jesus. Now, I've said this before, because the Jews, they were accustomed to Moses' law, the Pentateuch, and what they actually were bound to was the law of Moses. And here Jesus comes to town, and Jesus begins to do things that was basically not to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law, and it was contrary to what they thought ought to be happening at that time. You can read from this scripture how much the Jews actually despised, and I'm going to use a very strong word right here, hated Jesus when Jesus was here on the earth. Now, from this, you can see that where that the latter part of this, these verses, we're going to go forward, then we're going to back up, is that they actually was trying to get Jesus here for breaking the Sabbath law. And several different places you can go back and read why they actually were saying what they were saying about the Jewish law. We can see that actually in the book of Exodus, chapter number 20, and verses 8 through 11. You can actually read that there and see actually what the scripture says. In verse number 8, this is what the Bible says about the law. He says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou shalt not, thou nor thy son, thy daughter, manservant, maidservant, nor the cattle, the stranger that is within the gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the sea and all that is in them, and he rested the seventh day, whereof, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Now, when I studied this earlier this morning, the Sabbath day actually was a day that was set aside as a day of rest, as a day of serving God, worshiping God. And I'm not really going to get into it, but people say, why do we have Sunday instead of Saturday? Because we're not Sabbath keepers. Now, in the New Testament, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus on the Lord's Day. But in the book of Exodus chapter 35, and in verse number 2, there's only a verse there that I wanted to mention, is because it comes back and it says the same thing basically. And it says, 6 days thou shalt work, be done, but the seventh day there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath rest, and the to the Lord, whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. How many of you would agree with me that they were pretty serious about that? So in this, we can see that this Sabbath day, the strict law of the day by the Pharisee that was there, is Jesus and the ones that was traveling there, they were not able to go no more than what I understood was like 2,000 cubits, and that's like 3/4 of a mile, lest they break the Sabbath law. And Jesus was not resting, and Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath day. So Jesus was there to really stir things up when he came on this healing campaign to see this man at the Pool of Bethesda. At the Pool of Bethesda, there was a smorgasbord of people, if you will. They were there, and they were people that was filled with hopelessness, if you will. Our society today is filled with individuals all over that have a sense of absolutely despair and hopelessness. I don't know about you, but I know that feeling. I've experienced that before. There were people that was bound only to tradition of that day, and there were people that was bound to unbelief. But yet we can see that when Jesus came to this place at Bethesda, he came to this man and he began to engage with an individual whose name we do not know, but yet Jesus saw him and he had been there for some 38 years. Well, my friend, I don't know about you, but when I thought about that, I thought about a new day has come. I thought about this man that had laid there, no doubt, and seen in 38 years so many people get in front of him and so many other people. No doubt, no doubt in my mind, he had wondered, when will my day be? When will my turn be? I don't know about you, but I've asked that question, Brother Larry, so many times. When will my day be? When will my turn be? And I believe when I begin to look at this man, he looked at Jesus and he was laying there. No doubt he had to make a decision about his life, because Jesus looked at this man and he asked him point blank. He said, "Will thou be made whole," if you will. At that time, that man had to make a decision. I know years ago when I had preached this before, in verse number 7, he comes back and he begins to tell Jesus all the reasons why he could not be healed. One of the things that commentary mentioned today is that a lot of people in our society today, maybe they don't want to get healed. Maybe it's going to impact their living. Maybe it's going to impact their lifestyle if they actually do get better. Maybe there'll be more responsibility required of them if they actually do get better. They're going to have to do things different in their life than what they're doing right now. And sometimes it's easier to stay in a rut. It's easier to stay in the lost condition that you're in than assume the responsibilities of what it's going to cost you when you really do get what you need from God. And one of the things we begin to see is when this man that Jesus began to engage, he had to make a decision about his life at that time. You know, so many people today, they've got to make decisions about their life. When we look in verse number 7, he begins to say this. When Jesus, verse number 6, when Jesus says this, "Wilt thou be made whole?" One of the things that we know now looking at the scripture is that certainly Jesus came to make us whole. I use this scripture even during the Christmas season, which we're not that far removed from it. But yet we see that when Jesus took the scroll in his hand and began to read from the book of Isaiah, and he began to talk about his life, he began to talk about why he even came to the earth. We see this in the book of Luke chapter 4 and verse number 18. And I wanted to go back to this because of what it said. It said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me, watch this, to preach the gospel to the poor, to give the good news to the poor, to give them hope, to help them out of the circumstances, not poor monetarily necessarily, but poor in spirit, as the Beatitudes talks about. And he says, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I don't know if you've ever been brokenhearted, but I do say that, no doubt in my mind, that everybody in this room has been brokenhearted at one point in your life. But I just wanted to come by long enough to declare in your presence that Jesus came to heal you, that Jesus came to heal me. Jesus came to heal this individual that was at this Pool of Bethesda. Is anything too hard for God? I thought about that today in my pondering and in my preparation in my mind for this message. The Bible even talks about that in a couple of different places, but my mind goes back to this man by the name of Abraham. This man and his wife, Sarah, she was well past the age of bearing children. And they laughed when God told them that they were going to have a child, that they were going to have Isaac. And then both of them, they laughed at what the message was. A lot of times it's hard for us to grasp the miracle that God has in store for us. It's difficult. It's been difficult at times for myself. But yet, because it's difficult, it don't make it impossible to God. It might be difficult for you. It might be difficult for me. But all things are possible to him that believes. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So when Jesus asked this man, wilt thou be made whole? Well, here's another thing. You know, we think about Jesus in the Scripture to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering sight to the blind and to set at liberty them that are bruised. We think about the miracles of Jesus. All throughout the New Testament, there was miracles of Jesus. From the lady that was in the crowd that walked up behind Jesus. Can't wait to see that episode if it's in there. But the woman that walked up behind Jesus and touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" And Peter was there. And Peter said, "Lord, how can you say who touched me? Look at this great multitude that's around us." And Jesus in reply said, "I know that somebody touched me because I felt power, I felt virtue go out of my body." To the man that Jesus took spittle and put into his eyes and told him to go and wash in the pool. To the man with the withered hand. All throughout the Scripture, to the feeding of the 5,000, the fishes and the loaves. You know, I heard John Hagee say this years ago. And he said, it should never be hard for us to believe God for what God's Word says. Because God, my friend, is a God that cannot fail and a God that has a perfect track record. And John Hagee said that and reminded of that. And I just wanted to remind us this evening that God neither slumbers and God never sleeps. And God's eye is on the sparrow and God's eye is on you and God's eye is on me. How many of you believe that? Say amen. So we see this man that was there. And we think about the miracles all throughout the Scripture. And I came across some of these, and a lot of them we don't talk about too much. But, and I'm not going to turn there, Kathy. I've got about six. We're not going to turn there, five. But we think about over in the Scripture where that there was a pot of stew that was told to Elisha, if you will, that it was rank, it was ruined. It was going to poison them if they eat it. And Elisha prayed over it and told him to eat it in the 2 Kings 4, 38 through 41. If you're writing notes, it's there. And yet what Elisha told him it would be okay. And God healed that pot of stew, if you will. Miracles that are unexplainable. Miracles that we actually don't see every day, but we look at the Scripture and we know that God did the miracles. He did it with Naaman. Naaman the leper, if you will, was told to go down to the Jordan River, not a clean, refreshing pool. But according to my understanding, Jordan River was not a very clean river, and he could have done it another way. But Naaman went on down, and he dipped in the river seven times in 2 Kings 5, 10 through 14. But yet on that seventh dip, my friend, Naaman come up out of the water. I don't know if that song that says that Naaman went down, but he come up out of the water crying, "I'm clean, I'm clean." God, when God does it right. But yet there was another scripture right down in 2 Kings where there was a man that was killed and he was put into the grave. In the grave with Elisha, when he touched Elisha's bones, the man that was dead in 2 Kings 13, 20 through 21, he came alive again. And then Peter's shadow fell upon those in the New Testament in Acts 5 and verses 4 through 16. And we see that they were healed. And yet we see from Paul's very apron that Paul, they cut pieces of Paul's apron off and sent it out into to the people because Paul himself couldn't get there. And there was miracles of healing. And I don't know about you, but wouldn't it be awesome today if God so chose again in 2025 and in your life and in my life that God would begin to do mighty miracles in our midst again? Somebody says, have I ever had a real miracle? I can tell you something. I think this is the only time this has ever happened. I've had a lot of great experiences with God, and I could sure use a few of those right now. And somebody say amen. But I'm going to testify to the truth. When I worked at Coca-Cola, so that was in the early 80s, I had hurt my back. I had a case of drinks in my hand, and I twisted and I turned to put them on the ground. And when I did, I twisted my whole back out. Immediately, I could not move. I had to call. They came, got me. They took me to the doctor and sent me home. I slept all the way home, got to bed, and that's about all I remember of that event. But for years, Brother Larry, I had problems with my back. For a long time, my back hurt from that one event. And this is the absolute truth. Mike Nations, John Nations, Kelly Burnett, Millard Nations, we were having what we used to call Sunday night evangelistic service at the Clyde Church of God. We would have Holy Ghost hoedown. Some of y'all don't know what that is. Stick around and I pray it happened. But we were having a Holy Ghost hoedown. I mean, we were shouting, we were praising God, glorifying God. The Clyde Church of God was built in 1921. When you shout in that building, the floor shakes. One of these days I worry about that place. The floor of that building is built on timbers and that floor shakes. That night I was standing about this proximity and Millard or one of those guys, they laid their hand on my back. And it felt like that you put a hot washcloth on my back and immediately my back was healed and I've never had another problem with my back again. Was that a miracle? I would say it was a miracle healing of God. Those of you that's in this room, raise your hand if you think you've ever had a miracle or you believe you've ever had a miracle. God has not gone out of the miracle working business. And there are those that will tell you that that was only for the disciples, that was only for them, and it was only to affirm and to attest to Jesus' life when Jesus was upon earth. But I still believe that Jesus works miracles today. When this man was there in verse number 7, Jesus asked him a question, and I believe at the beginning of this new year, I believe it's time for a new touch. I believe it's time for God to do something real in our lives today. Let me just say this to reiterate. We need each other. I can't do it by myself. You can't do it by yourself. When Aaron and Ur held up the hands of Moses, as long as Moses had his support staff around him, they prevailed. But as soon as Moses' hands went down, Moses, they began to be defeated. And that is why Jesus sent his disciples out two by two to confront and to do the ministry that they were doing is because he knew that they needed one another. You and I need one another in the day and the hour that we're living in. This man, he asked a question to him. He said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Here's a point that I wanted to stress this evening. The man came back in verse number 7. And he says, "I have no man." When I was studying this, one of the things I wrote down is this. He relied on others all of his life only to remain in the same condition. I want to say that again. He relied on others all of his life and he remained in the same condition. Here's where I'm at with this. God, you say your word is true. You say, God, you can do the impossible. Lord, we must move beyond relying on man to do what only man can do. And we must rely on God to do what God said that he will do. Amen? So this man had to come to this revelation that he had to overcome his reliance on men, and he had to put his faith and his confidence in Jesus at this place. The impotent man answered and said, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." One of the things, again, that I realized that your journey towards Jesus will not always be like a straight arrow. It'll be there, and it'll be there, and it'll be there, and it'll be there, and it'll be there. A lot of times there are many obstacles along the way. But don't give up, don't lose faith. And those of you that know me, you know sometimes that the journey that is around us is a journey that is filled with obstacles. But God helped me to get my focus, and God helped me to keep my focus on you, because I know from the scripture in the life of Job, you know this, that Job's life was filled with many obstacles. But yet the Bible said that Job eschewed evil. He shunned evil and he embraced God. 2025, let us, Lord, not focus on the obstacles, but let us recover the sight to the blind and get our focus back on you. And all the people of God said amen in the house. Praise God. But Jesus asked him a question. Wilt thou be made whole? And I believe tonight as we look at this, he had to make a decision about his life. Here's a point that was not in my notes anywhere. If something in your life could change tonight and God was the only one that could do it, I know what mine would be. If you knew and I knew that something had to change and God was the only one to do it, what would be your request tonight before God? Family member get saved? Absolutely. Your financial status become better? Absolutely. A miracle healing? Absolutely. A life that would be changed? Absolutely. I'm gonna step out on the limb because that's where I'm at in this message. And this is not written down. We need to start believing God again for those miracles. Amen. I need to. I need to as well. I need to myself. I admit, I confess it. There's days that's been weary. There's days that my faith has been weak as well. Amen? And then he says here in the Word, Jesus asking him, and then Jesus, at this point, he recognized his obstacles, but Jesus looked back at him in verse number 8. And this is the way I took this. Jesus gave him, this is the way I'm going to say it, a direct command. It may not be that punctuation may not be exactly that way as it's punctuated, but yet we can see that Jesus told him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." I believe that Jesus told him that with all the authority of heaven enforced upon that man. When Jesus looked at that man and he told him, to take up your bed and walk. Now, this is one of the things that I'm cheating right here a little bit. He told him to take up his bed and take his bed with him to get it out of there. And this is the reason why, and I hadn't thought about it until this afternoon, is because you're not coming back to this place. Hello? You're not coming back to this place. You're at the pool. You're at the place where the crippled are. You're at the place where the halt was. That's like when you get saved and you get born again. Things that you did in your former life, according to the book of Romans, is, and I'm going to read that in just a moment. The Bible says that those former things are passed away. We don't need to stay in the trenches of yesterday and the mully grubs of yesterday. And we don't need to operate like a sinner. We don't need to function like a sinner. We don't need to think like a sinner because we're not sinners anymore. I don't even like the term, I'm a sinner, saved by grace, because it gives you an excuse to continue in your behavior. If you're saved, you're saved. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things become new. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. So in this, Jesus told him, when you leave, take your bed with you because you're not coming back here no more. So what does this teach us out of the book of Romans? In the book of Romans, in the scripture, the Bible says, look at this. Let me read this first. And it says this in the middle part of verse number 9. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. And Jesus watched him walk out of there. Now here's the thing. Romans 6, we're going to turn there because Romans chapter number 6, we look at this again in verse number 4. I'm going to just read ahead because I don't want to take the time not to read every bit of that. But he says in verse 4, therefore we are buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, watch this, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. It's a new start. It's a new year. Brother Steve said it so plainly on Sunday that we got to not bring our baggage from one year into the new year, or this new year is going to be just like it was in the old year. And I'm going to break it down a little further. If God's healed you, if God has sanctified you, if God's filled you with the Holy Ghost, my friend, we cannot drag back into our life the bondage and the baggage that God delivered us out of. Makes sense to me. And he teaches us in this scripture. He says in verse number 5 of the book of Romans 6, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also... And we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. I like that scripture. We'll have a glorified body one day, friend. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no pain. There'll be no worry. There'll be no stress. There'll be no anxiety. There'll be no turmoil. Y'all ought to be on your feet shouting about right now. But that's what the Word says. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. God help me. Look at this next verse. For he that is dead is freed from sin. This man was told to get up, take up your bed and walk. And the Bible says this as you begin to look at it. He said, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. This is where, at this point, the Jewish people, and the commentary said that it was not the Jewish people at large, but it was these Jewish leaders of that day that had Jesus as an insurrectionist, if you will, that wanted this Jesus out of the picture. And they were doing anything and everything that they could to make that happen. Between the Jews and the Romans, they crucified Jesus, correct? We see this again. The Bible says in verse number 10, he says, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. One of the questions at hand was, but was it not good to do a good deed on the Sabbath day? If your ox is in the ditch, I mean, you know, go get him out. Jesus taught that. So when they begin to look at this man, that they were asking him again, who is it? Verse number 11, as he was asked, he said, he answered them, he that made me whole. The same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. It's a brand new day for this guy. It was a brand new privilege. It was a brand new opportunity. 2025 brings us a brand new opportunity. Anybody get woke up at 12 o'clock last night, or you was already awake? There was a guy near my house down there. Got more money than me is all I can say. He had a pistol or an AR or what, I don't know what he had. He shot that gun for 10 minutes. bam, 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 bam. I told Sherry, I said, I hope he runs out of bullets soon or I can go back to sleep. But Jesus, in the scripture, Jesus brought this man to a decision. And then they again, the Jews, in verse 12, they ask him, what man is it which did this unto thee? Take up thy bed and walk. And again, in verse 13, and he that healed was not who he was. He didn't realize at that time that he was the Messiah that touched him. But he went. Jesus had hid himself away. He went into the temple, and there was Jesus in the temple with him. And verse number 14 says, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee. And you thought, well, what in the world could be worse than this man in the condition that he was already in? It's better to leave this world lame than leave this world and miss heaven. You know, we might not ever get delivered on this side. Hello? I don't know, and I don't have the answer. I don't have the answer. I wish I did have the answer. God lets it rain on the just and the... I don't know why God heals some people and some people don't get healed. You know and I know great people and beautiful people, wonderful people that's died of cancers and that's died in accidents, that's died in situations, and we've scratched our heads and we've beat our fists and we wonder, God, why? I wish I had the answer. But God knows best. And He's God. And we have to serve Him faithfully, regardless of the situations that come up. But this man was told, go and sin no more. And that's what I'm telling us. Actually, later, and I'm not going to go through the rest of it, but later he actually identified that it was Jesus. Signifying what? That he came to know Him as the Messiah. Even though he told those that was there, and one of the things that was pointed out was simply that Jesus, this man was done good, but yet he told Jesus, told the rulers that it was Jesus. One of the things that mentioned was that when others criticize your goodness, Jesus done good to him. But yet there was those in the crowd that was not willing to accept Jesus' healing of this man. They rejected him. I'm not going to get really deep into the rest of it, and there's a few more verses there. Verse 16, I wanted to point that out, and it says, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him. Jesus done good. But yet the Jews and those that was there, the Jewish leaders at that time, their anger of Jesus increased because of what Jesus was doing in that particular custom and in that society of that day. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing in the day and the hour that we're living in, as you stand with me? Isn't it amazing how that people today, we talk about Jesus, we talk about the goodness of God, we talk about how good God is and how that God can heal and God can save. But isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing today how that people call evil good and good evil? My friend, it's a new day, it's a new opportunity for us in 2025 to start over and to allow God to be who He says He is in our life. Father, I love You tonight. I thank You so much for Your mercy. I thank You, God, for Thy word, because Thy word will not return void. Father, help us to be found faithful as we endeavor to do Your work and Your will. Be with us throughout this week. Help us, oh God, to be found faithful. Be with families. Be with those that stand in need of prayer. And Father, we're going to be careful to give You the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 2